You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. Thank you for being with us. He is Max Kellerman. That's Stephen A. Smith. I'm Molly Karam Rose. Gentlemen, you ready to do this?
Let's go.
Friday Eve. Nuggets coach Michael Malone calling out his team after their second lopsided loss in the series, a 25-point beatdown last night in Phoenix. A pretty serious accusation by Coach Malone. You'll hear that in a second. Meanwhile, CP3 feeling confident as his squad heads to Denver with a commanding series lead.
The depth and what everybody brings, you know. Book scores in his sleep. He defends. You know, he's one of the best two-way players in the league, you know, and we feed off that. And then we got so many weapons. Jay is never fazed by anything. Take a big shot. He's going to defend whoever you ask him to. Mikhail is like our unsung hero. Guards everybody, shot maker, drive, everything. And then D.A., can't ask for more from somebody like him. Like he guards, he runs, he rebounds, he does everything. He's literally been our MVP in the postseason so far.
I saw one team that wanted to be here and play with a purpose and urgency, and one team that did not want to be here and play with no urgency, and that's why we got our kicked. There's a reason that their crowd is yelling Suns in four and they're calling for a sweep, because if we play like this back in Denver, this is going to be a really quick series.
Ooh, the Nuggets looking like a one-man team last night. Jokic scored a game-high 24 points and almost outscored the rest of the Nuggets starters combined. More bad news for the Nuggets. Teams trailing 2-0 in a best-of-seven series have lost 93% of those series in NBA history. Max Kellerman,
yeah.
Is this more about good Suns or bad Nuggets?
It's bad Nuggets. It's bad Nuggets. And by the way, what has been the story of these playoffs really is we were wondering what's going to happen. COVID year, shortened preseason. It's a lot of games to play, compressed. Are injuries going to be a problem? Yes. Yes, injuries have been a problem. Injuries could wind up deciding these playoffs. Mm-hmm. Look at the Lakers. No AD at all. Limited LeBron. Of course the Lakers are going to lose. And look at Denver now. And I thought, Stephen A., that they could survive without Jamal Murray. Maybe even get out of the West. With Jamal Murray, I'd have picked them to get out of the West. But even without Jamal Murray, because they have a deep backcourt. But what happens? Will Barton's been out for a long time with the hamstring. So he is finally ready to come back. You know what that does? It throws off the rotation. Aaron Gordon's not the same because his minutes are messed. It throws everything off. And Michael Porter Jr., in the absence of Jamal Murray, needs to be the second option. And we've seen, when he's right, how deadly he can be scoring. He was not right. You saw him with the wraps at the end of game one, and he was questionable for game two. With what? With the back. What do you keep bringing up about Porter Jr.? That Jerry West passed not once but twice on this guy in the draft because of the back. But his talent is pitched so high, you got to roll the dice. That's what Denver did. And here's the downside. When his back is acting up, this is the Michael Porter Jr. you get. So now you have no Jamal Murray, no reliable second option because of Porter's back. Will Barton comes back. You're going to have to reintegrate him into the team. That's going to throw guys off like Aaron Gordon. Jokic, 24-13-6, didn't even play the whole game, needs some help. I don't think it's an issue of quitting. I think it's an issue of playing on the road with a banged-up team. They better get healthy for home court because that's an advantage at altitude.
Well, first of all, you're wrong. And the reason why you're wrong is, number one, I don't believe that either of us are qualified to question Mark Malone when he's talking about whether or not the team quit. He would know. He coaches them. He's looking at them, and he sees how they customarily play. And then all of a sudden last night, you wet the bed. By the way, in the immediate aftermath of Jokic receiving the league MVP award. And so to know that your guy who's carried this team received that league MVP award with Adam Silver on the video screen and whatever while he was in the conference room in the hotel and all of this other stuff, and then to come out and play like that. It wasn't him that was playing bad. It was the guys around him playing bad. But the key stat and the key reason why the Phoenix Suns are up 2-0, what did they show at the beginning of this show? CP3, 26 assists and one turnover in the first two games. Why you think Crowder's looked good? Why you think Bridges has looked good? Why you think Cameron Payne, even coming off the bench to spell for CP3, has looked so good? DeAndre Ayton has looked good throughout these playoffs. It's about leadership, man. It's about floor generalship. It's about somebody that's directing traffic, dictating tempo, and doing those kind of things. That's what we're seeing from these Phoenix Suns. And again, it's about that crowd. Because I don't think you're going to see that happen in Denver. You ain't going to see Phoenix win like this in Denver. I'll bet the house it won't go down like that. That crowd in Phoenix, I cannot say enough. I mean, it is special. Utah was special the other night as well. Let's give them their props. But Phoenix and that crowd and what it does for this particular team, I've seen it many times in my career covering teams. You're in a completely different team on your home court than you are on the road. You feed off of it, particularly when you're young. And that's what this team is, with the Aitons and Bookers and Bridges of the world. They're young. Crowder and CP3 have been there before. I mean, you know, if Crowder just was in the NBA Finals, for crying out loud, last season. I think when you look at it from that perspective, that's what I'm looking at right here. It was more about the Phoenix Suns and what they're able to do on their home court than what Denver did.
Well, Chris Paul's brilliant. And, in fact, even his comments, Aiton is our MVP. No, he hasn't been, but he's pumping Aiton up. He's mentoring him and pumping him up because he needs him. He's showing real leadership on and off the court. It's not that the Suns aren't good. You knew coming in they were good. You knew coming into the season they were good. It's that Denver was going to need extra. They were going to have to be the best version of themselves to beat them on the road without Jamal Murray, with a compromised Porter, with Will Barton coming back, and the ripple effect that has on the rest of the rotation, including especially, I think, Aaron Gordon, who was off. That's what I mean by Denver wasn't good. They had to be a better version of themselves, or a good version of themselves. They were a bad version of themselves. In terms of coach saying the team quit, yeah, you're right. Neither one of us are in a position to second-guess him if he's seeing things like that. What I am questioning is whether he's trying to push their buttons. In other words, he needs more out of them. What they're giving him is not enough, and he's trying to push their buttons publicly so they respond.
They got their ass kicked.
Well, of course.
And you asked them 5-10 minutes after the game what happened. They got their ass kicked.
Yeah. I mean, ain't no. But that's different than saying quitting.
Well, to him, it wasn't. Because listen, they've lost before convincingly in a regular season game here or there, whatever. He has never seen this team perform so putridly as they did last night in a playoff game. So you got to pay attention to that because you know what they're supposed to be bringing. And then you got young cats out there running them out of the state, not even out of the building, out of the state. How the hell does that happen? Because you got to remember what they did in the second half of game one, how they came at them. You see these guys just go to another level, and Denver's not responding with the level of passion and tenacity that we're accustomed to seeing them do, even without Jamal
Murray. Okay, I think that's fair, but I think it's also fair to second-guess coach. In other words, I know he didn't have any good options. Whatever he was going to choose is a bad option. Do I play an injured player? Do I rest him this game? It's not good. But what he chose to do was play Porter on the road. Obviously, he wasn't right. Rather than giving him that game off, maybe integrating Barton that way, giving him more minutes maybe, and then having a more healthy Porter for game three. It's not that you say bad coach, right? Because who knows how this stuff goes. But he didn't have good options. But he did make a choice that appears to, in retrospect, have been the wrong one.
Well, you could say he made a wrong choice, but he's talking about the team and their collective effort. And I think what we've seen from Malone over the last couple of years, he's proven to be an exceptional coach. The man knows what he's doing. And I give him a lot of credit in terms of having the pulse of his team. He usually never misses a beat when it comes to that. So if that man sits there and tells me, you know what, this is how we played, and there was an absence of passion, and we gave up, etc., and if we play like this, this is going to be a short series. I'm going to listen to that man because I've seen Denver repeatedly overachieve with him on that coaching side.
Glad he's conceding the argument, Molly. It was bad Nuggets.
All right. Let's move on, guys, because there's another matchup out west. Game one, Donovan Mitchell went off, scoring 45 as Utah took a one-game lead over Kawhi Paul George and the Clippers. PG-13 took a lot of heat for not showing up until that fourth quarter. Stephen A., so who's the most important player for this Clippers-Jazz series?
Same person that was the most important player the first game, Donovan Mitchell. I told y'all he's a superstar. I told you he was going to show up in game one and show that he was a superstar, playing opposite Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, because that's the last thing left to cement how special this dude, Donovan Mitchell, is. He is a special, special brother. And the fact that Dwayne Wade is sitting courtside and during games, he's talking to Dwayne Wade because Dwayne Wade might see something he hasn't seen. Let's keep in mind that we're talking about a guy in Dwayne Wade that's one of the top five off guards in the history of basketball since Naismith invented the game. Top five off guard. That's how special Dwayne Wade is. That's the guy that's sitting courtside as a part owner that you are walking over and talking to while the game is going on in terms of little nuggets here and there, what he's seeing compared to what you're seeing. That's a beautiful position for Donovan Mitchell to be in. But then when you combine that with the fact there's a jump shot, there's a game where you can drive to the basket, there's a mid-range game, there's an NBA body with strength. He can get to the hole. You can't push him around. Then you take into account the heart that he brings to the table. You're talking about Kawhi Leonard and Paul George going up against a challenge that's even a bit different than Luka Doncic, because with Luka Doncic, you didn't have help. Donovan Mitchell's got help, not just offensively, he's got help defensively. And when you think about all of that and the freedom that he has because of it to bring what he brings to the table, the Clippers are not winning this series unless they stop that man. If they don't stop him, they got no shot. They going home.
Donovan Mitchell, by the way, had 57 and 51 in the same series last year. Like, oh, he's 45. That's nothing. 57 and 51.
But remember what Jamal Murray did to him.
No question. But, like, Donovan Mitchell's a dude who steps up. He's normally excellent. And when it matters most, he's an all-time great. But he's not the most important player in this series. We already knew that about him. Of course the Nuggets are going to need that from him. Of course the Jazz are going to need that from him. We saw it in game one, and they still barely won when Gobert got his fingertip on a shot that looked good to me from Monty Morris. Look, the answer is Paul George, Stephen A. Paul, you see what Donovan Mitchell did? You see why you're raving about him? It's not because of what he does in the regular season where he's excellent. It's because of what he just did. It's because of what he did last year with the chips on the line. He becomes a superstar if you think he's already a super duper star. What's Paul George do? Paul George goes from an all-star to something less than that. Even in game one, they had no chance to win when Paul George wasn't scoring at all. He came alive in the fourth quarter, dropped like 13 of his 20 in the fourth quarter. They had a chance. But let me ask you something. Is 20 good for Paul George? I mean, when you think of Paul George, you think 22, 25 points, something like that, just normally, right? Real good defense. Where is his 22, 25 points and real good defense? Stephen A., at least. Can he just at least stay himself in the playoffs? This is not a dude who relies on deception or playing against second units or anything like that. He's not Euro-stepping his way to success. He's a tall athlete who can run and jump and defend and shoot. He knows all, like, he has the ability that should play up in the playoffs. And if he plays up in the playoffs and is an actual two to Kawhi's one, the Clippers can win. And if he doesn't, they can't. They can't win.
This is the nauseating and pathetic part of your arguments. Talking basketball with you sometimes is the most excruciating thing going on.
Well, losing arguments is never fun.
Well, I'm glad you think I lose. When I lose to you, I'll let you know. It's never happened. Here's the deal. It's amazing to me. I used to bring up the Greek Freak. So much so, the Thursday to the Monday, I totally forgot
That wasn't the only one you did that to. You also did that to Kawhi Leonard. And see, Molly, he makes these arguments because that's the way for Max to gloss over and go away from the level of attention that he brought to Kawhi Leonard. Now, let's be clear. Kawhi Leonard was big time in game 6 and 7 against Dallas. And he showed up. And we all know that Kawhi Leonard is a top five player. But it was this man across from us that called them number one. It was this man that ignored the leadership role that you're supposed to play when you want to be the face of the franchise and you want to hold the franchise hostage and say, excuse me, trade the farm in order to get that guy, Paul George. Go to, listen, trade the farm in order to get that guy, Paul George. He didn't say, or else I'm not coming. He said, or else I'm going to the Lakers, where Anthony Davis and LeBron James were already was. That's why I use the word hostage. Because obviously, if you're the Clippers and you think you got a chance, you can't sit up, you can't sit around and do nothing and watch the Lakers get LeBron, AD, and Kawhi Leonard. You never have a chance in that city. So with all of those things being considered, I totally understand that Paul George has to step up. He's got to shoot better than 417. He had a couple of big shots. He hit a big three, hit a pull-up 19-foot jump shot in a waning moments. I understand that Paul George needs to do more than shoot 417. But Kawhi Leonard had 23, shooting 9 of 19 from the field in the same game that Donovan Mitchell dropped 32 in the second half and finished with 45. I'm sorry, Mr. Load Management. This is a guy, Kawhi Leonard, that averaged, to his credit, 39 minutes a game. The year they won in the playoffs with Toronto, he averaged 39 minutes a game. He doesn't miss playoff games, and he puts in his minutes. But the point is, those numbers, who am I looking to, particularly when the fourth quarter rolls around, to shut down a Donovan Mitchell or to match him
even
tip attack?
Even superstars.
Isn't that Kawhi Leonard?
Even superstars.
Isn't that Kawhi Leonard?
Even superstars have bad games in a series or games that are not up to their standard. We saw it in the first series with Kawhi. He had a couple games where you were sitting here saying, Kawhi, what you going to do?
Right.
And what he do in game 6 and 7?
Yeah, but what did you do?
He is a two-time finals MVP. Not okay. One, two-time, with okay. Two different franchises, okay. In okay. Two different roles,
okay.
Finals MVP. So can he have a game that you say, Kawhi, we need more? Yeah. But by and large, Kawhi Leonard shows up. His track record in the playoffs is among the best ever. Okay?
Right.
Paul George is not.
Right.
Paul George is consistently a lesser version of himself.
Yeah, but your argument is different from mine. You're talking about what Paul George needs to do. I'm saying Paul George can shoot 417, drop 20 points. And if Kawhi does what he's supposed to do, they still win the game.
No,
they still win the game. They still win the game. Let me tell you something right now. This is the time. You sit up there and you talk about Kawhi Leonard and what your expectations are of him. But when he was struggling, you wasn't the one calling him out. That was me.
Can I ask?
I was the one saying, what you going to do? You were the one. You were the one still saying he's Kawhi. I'm saying Jamal Murray dropped 40 on you in a game 7. Mm-hmm. A series that you
he
lost.
Did. That's the one series ever where Kawhi didn't come through in game 7.
Donovan Mitchell just dropped 45.
So what you going to do? You're asking Kawhi.
What you going to do? I don't want to hear Paul George. I want to hear Kawhi.
Fair enough. But based on Kawhi's track record, is your suspicion that he's going to do something or not in this series?
Well, it's my suspicion that he might not match Donovan Mitchell.
Okay.
That's my suspicion.
If Paul George,
if you want to use the word suspicion.
Let me be very clear. If Paul George can't at least be his normal self, the Clippers don't have a chance to win. If he can at least be his normal self, the Clippers can get out of the West.
All right. Max is saying it's more about Paul George, Stephen A. Kawhi, and Kawhi can't keep up with Donovan Mitchell at this point. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Tom Brady, he's ready to run it back, looking for ring number 8. Tom is at minicamp putting in that work. The Bucks have full attendance at camp, very impressive, and are returning all their starters from last year's Super Bowl winning team, which is almost unheard of. After that Super Bowl win, Tom did take care of some business knee surgery, which he needed since early 2020. Tom?
Was an injury I dealt with really, you know, since last, you know, April, May. I knew I would have to do something at the end of the year, and happy I did it. And it was probably something that was needed to be done. And there's a great outcome. So I'm very happy about that. I feel I'll be able to do some different things this year than I was able to do last year.
All right. We bring in a guy who knows a thing or two about winning a ring with Tampa. That would be the one and only Keyshawn Johnson. Good morning to you, sir. Stephen, I'm going to start with you. Who's the biggest threat to the Bucs?
Wow, it's a tough call. But, I mean, I'm not going to sleep on the Ravens because of Lamar Jackson and his electrifying talent, behind center and what he brings to the table. I'm also going to pay attention to the Titans because I love what they've done in picking up Julio Jones.
NFC, yeah. We're about to do AFC.
I'm sorry. It's the Seahawks.
Okay.
It's the Seahawks. I'm thinking about Russell Wilson. I'm thinking about DK Metcalf. I'm thinking about the fact that, you know, some of the things that was bothering Russell Wilson has been handled. And I just think that, along with their experience, to me, puts them as a legitimate threat. I still think there's some question marks with Garoppolo and San Fran. I still think Stafford, even though he's got a lot to prove, is a question mark in L.A. Let's see what they do, even though their defense is real. I'm looking at the Seattle Seahawks, led by Russell Wilson, as being the legitimate threat to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, I mean, if Aaron Rodgers is still on the Packers, I'll take the Packers. And if Aaron Rodgers goes somewhere else in the NFC, I might take them. But as of right now, assuming Rodgers winds up in the AFC, give me the Los Angeles Rams. You know, there's a reason they traded two firsts and what was it, a fourth? Plus Jared Goff, the former number one overall pick who's made two Pro Bowls and has been a quarterback in the Super Bowl for Matthew Stafford. Because McVay looks and goes, can't quite do what I need to do with Goff. I can with that guy. And when an offensive coach like McVay identifies his quarterback and moves mountains to go get him, that tells you something about what he's anticipating he's going to do. Now, there's change on the offensive line, but they still got Whitworth, their best offensive lineman, their left tackle. They have an offense. They have a defense. They have the best defensive player in the league. They looked to me over the last couple seasons like they were ready to take the next step, if only. And it seems like they got the if only addressed. I say the Rams are the biggest threat if Rodgers is in the AFC.
Oh, boy, I can scratch my head in a lot of different places here, but I got to agree with you to a degree, Max. I think when you look at the Los Angeles Rams and everything that you pointed out at the quarterback spot, here's the problem for me, though. Is the defensive side of the ball. Yes, they have Aaron Donald and they have Jalen Ramsey, but they also got a new defensive coordinator in Raheem Morris. It's not like Raheem Morris as a DC has lit the world on fire. So we got to be careful saying that this defense is going to be the same. They lose Johnson to the Cleveland Browns. Taylor Rapp falls into that position. Yes, on the offensive side, they did pick up Matthew Stafford. But Matthew Stafford is 0-3 lifetime in the playoffs. So if it's true that he has his guy at the quarterback spot, it's boom or bust for the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. There's huge pressure on Stafford. We're going to get to that later in the show. But I think if you're going to talk about the biggest threat to the Bucs, and we're not talking Packers because we don't know what's going to go on with Rodgers, I don't think you have to leave the NFC West. I think you could legitimately take the Seahawks, even though the offensive line and the defense hasn't been everything people wanted.
But sleep
because
what
of the quarterback.
Don't sleep on New Orleans just because Drew Brees is gone. Don't think that Jameis Winston is a bum at quarterback of Deshaun Payton. Don't think that for one bit.
I don't think he's a bum, but I do think that he's a turnover waiting to happen. And, I mean, I think that he's good for his 30-plus touchdowns. I think that he'll win more than he'll lose. I think that he'll be better under Sean Payton than he ever was in Tampa. I'll give him that. I'm not finished with Jameis Winston. I don't think his career is over or anything like that. But I think the expectations when you're looking at the Saints is, can he be Drew Brees? Can he be that dude as a passer? And that answer is no, because the greatest thing about Drew Brees was his accuracy. And I don't think anybody will accuse Jameis Winston of pulling that off.
Yeah, but Stephen A., it's all about the coach putting you in the right position at quarterback to be successful and to succeed. Yes, he had some success in Tampa Bay, but they let him – they kind of hung him out to dry, having him throw the ball 50 times a game. You can't do that. You have to know what you have at that particular position.
I think people are also sleeping on the other two teams in the NFC West. Arizona keeps getting better. Kyler Murray keeps getting better. Yes, he does,
Keith.
San Francisco was in the Super Bowl the year before last. If Garoppolo can stay healthy or be healthy at the
right time. Right.
San Francisco's live.
Why do you want to make the Bay Area laugh if he can stay healthy? Really?
Well, they have a pretty good backup.
Frisco's legit. Frisco's a legit opportunity. Okay. But don't mention Arizona, man.
All right. Stephen A. says the Seahawks, Max and Key are saying the Rams as their number one choice is threat to the Bucs. Now we move to the AFC. Ladies and gentlemen, the Chiefs have been in the Super Bowl the past two seasons. We know how loaded they are, heavy favorites in the conference again. And then earlier this week, Max said the Browns are the biggest threat. Stephen A. had said the Titans and the Ravens. Keyshawn saw that segment and had a bone to pick in this edition of Keywords.
Don't start twisting my words. See, that's why I don't like to do interviews.
Shut your up.
Who scheduled this game?
I got a hell of a reputation, don't I?
I wasn't picked here to be put on the back burner.
They can't cover me. They can't cover me.
Put up awesome numbers, won a Super Bowl ring. What more can you ask for?
All that screaming.
What can you do? I mean, there's nothing you can do. You can't do anything. There's nothing. We can't do. We couldn't throw. We throwing interceptions.
Oh, God. Yes, I do. Yeah, Molly, I do have a bone to pick with them. But I also have keywords for both Max and Stephen A. Look, man, you mentioned every team. You mentioned the Titans, right? You mentioned the Browns, the Ravens. Nobody mentioned the New England Patriots, and I don't know why. Why do you not mention the greatest modern-day head coach, mind you, went out in free agency, spent a boatload of money, something they've never done before, to shore up certain positions. They got Nelson Aguilar. Kendrick Bourne came over from the Niners. They traded back for Trent Brown from the Raiders. He had the best seasons that got him paid to Oakland at the time from New England. On top of all of that, they bring in Matt Patricia, who got hired as the defensive coordinating specialist to head coach in Detroit. We know how that worked out, but that's not his, you know, his thing is defense. He comes in, and we know he's not probably going to be getting the title, but he's going to be calling the defense. And on top of that, Cam Newton, he's as healthy as ever. When you look at him prior to COVID, his numbers were way better than they were before. I mean, after COVID. So when you start to think about that, man, how could y'all leave out New England? I don't get it.
One team, Key. I took the Browns because I think they're the biggest threat. But I think, Stephen A., I think New England's a good call. They'd be up there for me.
Keyshawn Johnson.
Is my name.
First of all, I just want to know. I love the new segment and I love the intro and all of that
stuff. Keywords.
I especially love the part where you were saying that's why I don't like to do interviews. And now here you are in the business doing interviews. I think that's hilarious. But I'm proud to have you, my brother. I'm proud to have you as a colleague. Here's the deal that I find.
I want to be careful. I want to preface this comment by saying I would encourage everyone. Cam Newton has a fly cigar bar in Atlanta right down the block from the Mercedes Bento. It's a must. You got to go to that spot. Cam Newton cigar spot in the ATL. That's one of my favorite spots. It's beautiful to go to. And I don't smoke cigars. But anyway, having said all of that, Key, here's my problem.
Let me know.
It comes down to him. Their defense is going to be significantly better because you got about 7 or 8 bodies at the comeback. I have no question about their defense. I don't see Buffalo going anywhere. I don't see Miami fading. I think Miami and Buffalo are not going to be a joke. They're going to be something to reckon with, and I don't think Mac Jones is going to be ready as a rookie. So it comes down to Cam Newton, who's a stud athlete, no doubt. But when it comes to flinging that football with a degree of accuracy, I think that's going to be a challenge. And when you look at the totality of the AFC conference, and that's why the Patriots are not my number one threat to the Chiefs.
And that's okay, but you didn't mention them. Y'all just forgot about them. And yes, Cam Newton has always had accuracy problems, even when he went to the Super Bowl.
I agree.
It's not a secret.
I agree.
But you as a coach and a coaching staff need to know the throws, his best throws, the throws that he can make and execute them. And think about it for a minute, though, man. Really, who was he throwing to last year? Yes, he was dribbling balls in the ground at times. No question. But he also was putting it in a breadbasket and they was dropping it. So let's be fair and real at the same time.
Well, yeah,
They bring in Jonnu Smith. They bring in Henry from the Chargers. They're upgrading to give him the necessary help.
Yeah, right, especially a guy like Cam Newton. Get him tight ends. They got him tight end talent. I agree with that. Look, he was 2 plays away from going 9-7 last year, coming off a catastrophic injury, new team, new system, no preseason because of COVID, facilities getting shut down during the year because of COVID.
Max, he got COVID, no receivers.
I agree.
If he takes the football against Buffalo and put it in his left arm in the sideline instead of his right arm, he doesn't fumble. They block Bobby Wagner at the goal
Bobby
line,
Wagner made a play.
Scores.
Goal line. Yep.
That's two plays.
So that's what we're doing.
Let
me ask you this question, Keyshawn and Max. And Max, I know it might be impossible, but just give me a quick answer to something. Just once
in your life.
Just once in your life.
I mean, look at that,
Keyshawn.
This dude's telling me quick answer.
See what I'm saying? You interrupt before I even ask the question. Is there one season in your professional career, or in all the year that you've watched football, and you've known football, and you've played football, Keyshawn? Is there one season, hell, 1 week, where you have not been able to point to a play or two that's cost somebody a game?
Yes, you can.
So why are y'all bringing that up?
Because if you make the corrections, if you make those corrections, we having a different conversation.
I don't even think it's about making excuses for those losses, Stephen A. Loss is a loss. You're right. The point is the Patriots were around a 500 team with everything that we just said. They had so few weapons, Brady's like, I got to get out of here.
And they won't be a 500 team then?
Whoa.
Cam has had a season with Belichick.
I said they won't be.
Cam has had a season with Belichick. Cam is healthy. Cam's got weapons, including tight ends now.
Right.
They improved the offensive line.
Stephen A.
He doesn't have COVID.
He got COVID last year.
He's not dealing with COVID. He was at a 70% QBR prior to COVID. He went down to 42%
oh my God.
After COVID.
Oh my God.
They've gotten better.
I would like to remind you that you started off and you prefaced your statements by saying he's always had an accuracy issue.
Yes.
Cam Newton and the New England Patriots are going to have an elite defense. And led by him, they're going to have a big-time running game. The question is, when it comes time to pass the ball, is it going to be an issue?
The question to you, Stephen A.
Yes.
Did they get better this offseason? Simple and plain. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. So if they got better, and me and Max are saying that they're a couple plays away from being 9-7, is that over 500?
Hold on. I just finished saying I believe they'll be about 9-7.
Okay.
Well, 17 games next year.
That'll make them the biggest threat to the Chiefs.
Yeah,
it does. Oh, well, we get to the playoffs?
No.
What's wrong with y'all?
Yeah, no, it does. Because
no,
when you
stop it, Key.
I want, hey, Key, real
what you
quick.
Mean?
I want,
stop
if you get
it.
In the playoffs,
what I mean.
You,
I said what I mean.
If you get in the playoffs and there's a matchup, that matchup becomes the strong contender against your opponent. What are you talking about?
Oh, hold up, hold up. Are we forgetting that
this is all on tape? This is all on tape.
Cam has taken a team to the Super Bowl, and he was a worse passer then than he became years later. Yes.
You barely had facial hair when he was in the Super Bowl. Stop it.
He was MVP.
Stop it.
MVP.
All right, so what?
I'll wrap it up by saying
that. 6 years ago.
Based on this conversation, we have four reasons why the Patriots should be better. Obviously, Key, what you said, they spent a grip in free agency more than they ever had. Cam had COVID. The other thing is they had the most players opt out due to COVID. Guys like Dante Hightower will be back. And the last thing, Tom Brady left and won a Super Bowl. So there's going to be an extra chip on everybody's shoulder, especially Bill Belichick.
I'm very serious what I said about that cigar bar in the ATL.
It just sums up the conversation.
But you don't smoke cigars.
It's really a beautiful place. But you don't smoke cigars.
Remember,
and you're telling us
I'm remember this.
The ambiance.
The ambiance. What could that mean?
It's special. It's
he likes the people that deliver the cigars.
I'm going to remember this, Stephen A. in December. I'm
going to
remember this.
I ain't hard to find, Keyshawn. I ain't hard to find. You're the one that's hard to find. L.A., New York, where you at? You know where I'm going to be. I'm hard, okay. I'm hard to find. I remember this.
You hear what he just said, Key?
I remember this.
Look, peep game. He's talking about, you're the one who's hard to find. L.A., New York. You know where I am? Yeah, L.A. and New York. What are you talking
well,
about?
Well, he's up, but you know where you can find me in those places. Keisha, you don't know where the hell he at.
All right. I'm going to make sure to put tape on that mouth.
Though. All right. You do that.
Tape on that mouth.
You do that.
Now, that's a tall task.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Keep it going with the playoff talk. So far, this Nets-Bucks series hasn't really lived up to the hype. No James Harden, no problem. KD and Kyrie combined for 54 en route to a 39-point demolition in Game 2. Harden can't go tonight either for Game 3 as the series shifts now to Milwaukee. This brought up all sorts of nostalgic feels. 2 years ago, on this very date, Max Kellerman with this memorable take.
Ah, yes. It's time again for On This Day in Smithsery.
You know what? Apologize for that on national television right now. When you compare the Greek Freak to KD, apologize right now.
Greek Freak is better than KD.
What are you?
Max, stop!
This has been another installment of On This Day in Smithsery. Now, back to you, First Take.
There's a very simple explanation for that. It appears I was very wrong. He was the MVP at the time. He was the best offensive and defensive player in the league. Didn't play in the playoffs. His style of play doesn't play in the playoffs. I was wrong.
It's just. Okay. Let's give Max credit for admitting that he's wrong. Something you do often. But nevertheless, you deserve credit.
Bring up old stuff all the time. I don't.
It's just for credit. The thing that amazes me that I'm still trying to figure out. When was there ever a moment that the Greek Freak with the eye, with those Beetlejuice eyes of yours, ever?
Whoa.
He was better than KD.
When he was winning MVP of the regular season.
Even then he wasn't better.
Why did he win MVP?
Tell me.
KD played the season.
Tell me. You will concede that there have been times, many, many times, where, you know, you bring up, others have brought up the eye test. Because when it comes to eye test, you should be winning every contest. We all know this, right? So when you talk about the eye test, mm-hmm. we ain't talking about numbers. We're not even talking about trophies, because sometimes the most valuable player, like, you know, if you're playing on a bomb squad and Greek Freak has no help, then he's obviously more valuable to his team, and I get that. The point that I'm making is I'm talking about watching the actual players and their actual skill set. When?
That year.
Ever.
That year was during the regular season.
There was not
that year
ever.
During the regular season.
There was the, has the Greek Freak ever had a jump shot?
No.
Then how?
I will tell you.
How?
I will tell you how. Why do you think Shaq said, finally, for the first time, that's the dude you can give the Superman name to?
Why did he say that?
Why did he say that?
I got a question. Did you speak to Shaq?
Because.
Did you speak to Shaq? Did he tell you why?
I think we did have him on the show. I think we brought that up, as a matter of fact. But I don't remember. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
The day he said that, I called him. I said, what the hell was that about? What did you mean by that? Look, man, I'm not talking about skill over skill. I'm just talking about domination.
Right.
I'm just talking about domination.
I mean,
That's what he meant by Superman. That's exactly what I was about to say.
Imposing dominance.
He imposed himself that entire regular season.
Yes, he did.
Because there was really no way to stop him the way they were defending him. So he looked like a cross between Michael Jordan and Shaquille O'Neal. He was dominating everybody. He was dunking on everybody. He was even taking the ball up. He was passing the ball. He was grabbing rebounds.
I'd like to repeat it.
Repeat what he said. Repeat what he just said. I just want to make sure. I heard. Because sometimes I ignore him because I can't take
that. That's right.
What did he say, Molly? What did he say?
Right. I can't speak. A cross between Michael Jordan.
That's what he looked like in the regular
and
season.
Shaquille O'Neal.
That's what he looked
May
like
I
in the regular
a break?
Season.
I got to listen to this dribble.
Now, you can't take a break.
Now.
You cannot take a break.
That's what he looked like in the regular season. That's the reason he was MVP and it was undisputed. That dude was the best in the league. In the playoffs, he got exposed. The jump shot hurt him. Because they'd wall off, and that would be the end of that. He couldn't hit from the outside.
Do you know?
That's all.
I know you think you're brilliant and all of this stuff to the point where you don't have to listen to any damn body. But let me ask you this question: is there anybody by some slight chance? Because he plays tonight, damn it!
It's a mystery. By chance.
I'm assuming that you at least pay attention to other basketball analysts, aficionados, stuff like that. Have you ever, ever, ever heard one person say that the Greek Freak was better?
I don't care about what other people say.
I have no memory of hearing that.
Why would I care? Why would I remember that?
Really? In other words, I just want to be very clear.
Yeah.
Because see, when we hold you accountable, when you go oops and then you try to avoid a subject, or when you hide under the camera, when you get exposed or something, this is one of those moments. You got an opportunity. While the camera's rolling on you, Max, do you understand that the desk, you got an opportunity to hide under the desk? Because you said
you
do have an opportunity to hide behind, under the desk.
There's no one ever
that said the Greek Freak.
Except for everyone who voted on the MVP award that year.
Hold on. You've openly admitted. Well, Steve, you've openly admitted. There's been plenty of times where Michael Jordan didn't win league MVP with somebody.
That was not because of the same reason.
No.
When they didn't give it to Jordan or LeBron, they do it because they have fatigue giving them the award.
They gave it to Giannis because he was the best player that year.
They gave it to Giannis
because his numbers were astronomical and he was the most valuable player for his team. It didn't mean he was better.
Let me put it this way. If Giannis had done in the playoffs what he'd done in the regular season, he'd have been the best player in the game. The reason he's not is because he couldn't.
Giannis
didn't play in the playoffs.
Giannis can average.
Pretty simple.
Giannis right now can average 40 a game. 40! And no one would still say he's better than KD.
If Giannis had the success in the playoffs he's had in the regular season, everyone would say he's the best player in the world.
I apologize.
He has not been able to replicate
it
in the playoffs.
I apologize.
Jump shot has been a problem.
I apologize. My bad, because I'm not going to be upset. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not going to be upset. And the reason I'm not going to be upset because, as Lawrence Fishburne once said in a movie, when you don't know, you don't know.
I'm glad you're admitting that when it comes to him. Good. I'm glad you're admitting that.
He doesn't get it, and I can't. America, I tried. Basketball people everywhere. It's moments like this.
If Giannis
you should
had
hide
been,
under the table.
If it's very
you should
simple.
Hide under the table.
If
you
Giannis,
did it before.
The two
I'd like
time,
to hide under the
under
table.
The table.
if Giannis, the two-time MVP, had replicated his regular season success in the playoffs, he'd be the best player in the game.
I'll be cool.
He has been unable to do so, so he's not.
You have zapped my enthusiasm to talk basketball with you with your flagrant ignorance. I'm going to be here. I'll listen.
Was Shaq ever the most skilled player in the game? I'm sorry, was Shaq ever the most skilled player in the game? But he was the best at one point, wasn't he? But he could do it in the playoffs.
I enjoyed Smith-story. I enjoyed it. I just want to say that. I like the graphics, the whole thing.
So do I. I love it.
Cool.
And by the way, Shaq was the most dominant, never the best.
What we did.
Oh, really? Shaq was never the best player in the game?
No.
Shaq was never the best player in the game.
Oh, yes, he was the most dominant.
Yes, he was. He was the best player in the game.
Okay.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.